I want you to think about an opportunity to get on a boat. I used to love boats. I remember as a little guy up in Lake County, went to visit a friend, and his dad was a wildlife agent, and they lived on Lake Isom. And I remember us getting in a rowboat, and that was so exciting to me. It would be kind of like the feeling one might get the first time they go on a cruise. I was so excited about getting in that rowboat and getting out on that lake, and I've loved boats. What if you had the opportunity to get on a boat that was the only chance to save your life? And someone was telling you that and telling you that if you behave this way, you are not going to be able to get on the boat, and you want to behave this way so much that you continue and you miss the boat. We use that phrase, don't we? You ever miss the boat? Well, there were a lot of people in the days of Noah that missed the boat. But I'm thinking about people for about 100 years who missed the boat because they would not listen to the message that a righteous preacher was bringing them. And so you think about those people who were dying. If you could think about a major waterfall. Maybe you've been to Niagara Falls. I've never been there. I'd like to go, but I've never been. But some of you have, and you've watched that water just rush over the falls, and what a turbulence that makes when it hits the rocks and when it hits the water below. Can you think about that being an avalanche of souls going over where death leads us? And they just keep going, and they keep going, and they keep going. And it's death, it's eternal life that they're heading into away from God when they're in this water. But they keep going anyway. They keep refusing to listen to what God has to say. God has always used His Word to encourage, to warn, to teach, to give us wisdom, to give us the knowledge that we need to navigate through the world and not enter into that kind of a stream of death. That was going on for about 100 years, maybe a little more, while Noah was preparing the ark and while he was teaching and preaching. One of the things that we need to know is that God is alive and well, and He's active today. God is preaching today. Wouldn't it be neat if you could have come to this building tonight and heard Jesus Christ Himself? Wouldn't that be a wonderful thing? Well, that's what you have the opportunity to do if I preach the Word. It won't be that if I don't preach the Word. But there wouldn't be any difference in Jesus being here in bodily form if I preach the message that Jesus gave us. That's what Noah was doing in his day. 1 Peter is a book about suffering. Billy mentioned it. I have mentioned it. It's a book that talks about a people who are going through a fiery trial. There are a lot of those people responding to that fiery trial in the wrong way. The people in the days of Noah didn't see so much what was coming. They were only hearing it. What if there's a big field that Fried Hardeman owns behind my house? What if I started constructing a boat the size of an ark? I don't know if you've ever visited the ark up in Kentucky, northern Kentucky, but that's a big old boat. What if somebody started building that boat in that field behind my house and started preaching, look, there is going to be this water coming and it's going to destroy the world and everybody in it unless you get in this boat. Would you buy into it? You see, it's hard for us to think about putting ourselves in the place of those people in Noah's day. Noah is preaching. They are not listening. They were going to suffer. People in the first century that Peter was writing to, we're going to suffer. You and I are going to suffer one way or another. We are going to hurt ourselves with poor choices. We're going to hurt ourselves with poor relationships. We're going to hurt ourselves with sin of many different kinds. And then the world has things that hurt us. not any of our own fault. Sometimes we may be doing exactly what's right. Someone else may not be paying attention. We may get run over. We may be flying a plane, driving a car, riding a boat, and some kind of mechanical problem occurs and we are hurt in some way. Maybe even death comes. We have disease. We have all kinds of things that hurt us in this world. We know that. God warns us. He writes about it. He is preaching to us today about the problems that we're going to face. When someone is teaching the Word of God, it is as though Jesus is saying, you are going to receive and you're going to have those fiery trials of some kind. Don't think it's strange. That's what we talked about last week. If something's going on that's not good in your life, don't think it is strange. Now, what we want to look at tonight is how God prepares us and helps us as we think about what is coming to us in life. Jesus came, He Himself suffered. But His suffering was not for Himself. His suffering was for me. He came because I sin, I need help, and I am bringing problems upon myself. And I need some help. But the suffering that Jesus did was victorious. This is a part of the context of our reading tonight. Jesus Christ, who now, right now, has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God with angels, authorities, and powers having been subjected to Him. He came and He made Himself a little lower than an angel. He didn't count it something as robbery to be on an equal level with God, but He humbled Himself and He became a servant in this world. And He became obedient unto death, even death on the cross, Philippians 2 teaches us. And that's the kind of mind that we ought to have, giving ourselves up for other people and thinking about letting our suffering be for good and coming out to be victorious. We're going to suffer. Why would we not want to be like Jesus and be victorious in that suffering? So what we need to start out thinking is Christ bore witness through His unjust suffering, but He was vindicated through His resurrection and ascension. What a great message that is for us. What a great day it was for Roy Sharp when Jesus was buried and on that third day arose from the grave, having overcome death, putting the devil in his place, knowing that Jesus had won the victory. Now the devil is trying to get me and you and anyone else that he can to come with him into that stream of death without being vindicated, without being helped, without getting into that boat, if you will. He's trying to get you and me to miss the boat. And so as we think tonight about the message that we want to listen to, Christ bore witness through His unjust suffering, vindicated through His resurrection. And I want to share with you three proofs, or if you don't like that word, we don't like to prove things because in our world, we just don't like absolutes, do we? Here are three reasons. Let me go there. And for some reason, this is not moving. Here we go. The first one is Christ suffered unjustly on our behalf. He suffered unjustly, not because He deserved it, but I deserved it. And so Peter is telling us that very thing. And I am looking at the opportunity for you all up there to help me because this is not working, and I'm sorry about that. There will be several transitions if you're listening up there, and I will just do what I do. You do what you do up there, okay? Sorry, folks. Life happens. Now, Christ suffered unjustly on our behalf. He also suffered, this text says in verse 18, once for our sins. Look at this. The righteous for the unrighteous. If you were looking and reading off the screen or in a different translation, it said the just for the unjust. But it's talking about people who have been made right by God. Those people are who He suffered for. But that's not what this says. He was righteous. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, him who knew no sin was made to be sin that you and I might become the righteousness of God. And so he was right in and of himself. He did no sin. He died not because he sinned, but for unrighteous Roy and unrighteous you, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit. Jesus died on the cross, but wow, was he ever powerfully resurrected. And the second point that I'm going to make to you that Peter made is that Christ bore witness through his unjust suffering, in which he went and proclaimed to the spirits in prison, because they formerly did not obey when God's patience waited in the days of Noah while the ark was being prepared. Now, I probably should get behind the pulpit and duck down, because what I'm about to say might not be what you think this passage means. I have read again this week numbers of commentators and wise men and studious men and women who have written about this passage. Well, what does it mean that Jesus went and proclaimed to the spirits in prison because they formerly did not obey when God's patience waited in the days of Noah while the ark was being prepared? Well, as we think about what this means, what we need to understand is throughout history, Jesus spoke through prophets. Now, Hebrews 1 and verse 1, the Hebrew writer begins by saying, a long time ago, God spoke to us by the prophets. But now, in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. Is Jesus here tonight with us in a great manner of speaking? Absolutely. Is he here in bodily form to preach to you? He is not. But Jesus is speaking to people today exactly in the same way that he did in the old days when he spoke to those people in the Old Testament by the prophets. Now, look at what 1 Peter 1, verses 10 and 11 says. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who prophesied, now remember, Peter here is talking about prophets, those people of olden days, they prophesied about the grace that was to be yours, about the grace that was to belong to the people in the first century that Peter was writing to. They searched and they inquired carefully, and they inquiring what person or time the Spirit of Christ in them was indicating when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the subsequent glories. Go back and read Isaiah 53, that song of the suffering servant. And what you have, if I understand this passage, and if I understand what we talk about when we talk about inspiration, those were the words of God. God is speaking through Isaiah the prophet. God is telling those people that Christ suffered once and that he is the one who is dying on the cross for them. And that great message of that song was being presented by God through the prophet. As we think about the Spirit of Christ being in those prophets as they spoke these words, if we can think that way, we can better, I think, understand what was going on in this passage. Noah was a preacher of that which was right. The world rejected that which was right. They would not listen. For 100 and something years, those people would not listen. God said that every thought and intent of the heart of man was only evil continually. What an amazing passage to say about God's people. Surely there were some sweetheart grandmothers and grandfathers. Surely there's some beautiful children that grew into beautiful young adults and beautiful older people. But God is teaching us that sin was so prevalent. He describes it as every thought and intent of man's heart was only evil continually. But 2 Peter 2 and verse 5 tells us when he is comparing what is going to happen to the righteous in this entire context in 2 Peter 2, what's going to happen to the ungodly? They're going to be destroyed. They're going to be lost. They're going to perish. That message comes over and over and over again. That was the very message Noah was preaching for 100 years as he was helping to build the ark. Those people would not listen. And in the middle of that conversation, Peter says, if he did not spare the ancient world, he didn't. We read that text, and the world died outside of that ark. Every man and woman and child died that was outside of that ark. But Noah was preserved. He preserved Noah and his wife, his three sons, and their wives. There's destruction when you do not listen, but there's salvation when you listen. And as we look, this text tells us that Noah, the ESV says that he was a herald. Other translations say that he was a preacher of righteousness. You have a man preaching every day. He's building, he's preaching, and the world is moving toward that body of water that's going to come and take every soul other than those 8 souls who were on the ark away, and leading them to destruction. They would not listen. And so if you think about God having Jesus, Spirit rather, being in the prophets that spoke, as Peter taught us earlier, the Spirit of Jesus is in Noah. Noah is preaching just as if Jesus was preaching, a message of righteousness and a message of salvation. Now, he went and proclaimed to the spirits in prison. This is not an easy passage. But I encourage you to study. I encourage you to think. I'm not encouraging you to just accept what I say, but I'm encouraging you to go search, you to go reason, and you to go think. Jesus went and proclaimed to the spirits in prison. Well, some questions that need to be answered is, when did he go? Because you see, there are people who believe that when Jesus died on the cross, he descended into Hades and he preached to those spirits of the people who died at the time of Noah. Is that the correct time? Is that when Jesus preached? And if Jesus preached to those spirits, what would he have preached to them? Jesus had already taught, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. Noah preached the message of salvation and told them that God had demands and expectations, and if you do not enter the ark by righteous living, you will be destroyed. And they were destroyed. There was a message of salvation, a preacher of that which is right, a preacher of righteousness. And so if Jesus had gone into the grave and preached to the spirits, what would or what could he have received? The Hebrew writer said, is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the resurrection. What good would preaching have done them if what the Bible teaches us is true about death comes and then the resurrection? There are people that have built doctrines upon the fact that one might change their state of being eternally after death. There's nothing in the Bible that would teach us that that would be the case. Everything tends to teach us that when we die, we have done what we will do or even can do with regard to the salvation of our souls. Now, when we begin to think about the message that comes to us in 1 Peter 3:20, the preaching was done because they formerly, at the time of Noah, did not obey when God's patience waited in the days of Noah while the ark was being prepared. They sinned. They lived in a disobedient state at the time of Noah. What sense would it make for Jesus to go into the grave and preach to those spirits whose lives had already been lived, they had died, and they are headed toward judgment? Doesn't make any sense to me. And so I can't not accept that kind of interpretation. It makes much, much more sense to me that Jesus, through Noah, a preacher of righteousness, preached and waited, God waited, Noah waited, for people to respond and repent, and they did not. And so the spirits in prison, it seems to me, were the same disobedient people to whom Noah preached. They had left this world, they had died, and at the time Peter was writing, those disobedient people had died and their spirits were in prison, awaiting judgment. This concept of in prison is used about that waiting place. They cannot go anywhere else. You remember the story of the rich man and Lazarus? As we read that context, obviously in the broad context, that story is about money and about the rich man and riches and how riches are not going to be of any value to you once you leave this world. And so we have the contrast of a very poor man who is in what we think of as paradise in Abraham's bosom, and the rich man in torment, suffering so much, he's begging Abraham to let Lazarus dip his finger in water, touch it to the tip of his tongue. This rich man understands the behavior of his brothers. He didn't want them coming where he was. And he begs Abraham to send Lazarus back to warn his brothers. You go tell them exactly what it's like. You tell them I sent you. You tell them, I don't know what he said or was thinking, but isn't that what is likely? You tell them, I am suffering unbelievably, and if you don't want to suffer unbelievably, change your way of life. You remember Abraham's response? Can't do that. And besides that, if they won't listen to the preachers of the day, that is, if they won't listen to Moses and the prophets, they won't listen even if someone turns back from death to life. And so it seems to me, these people who were disobedient at the time of Noah died in the flood. Their spirits were in prison. But Jesus had preached to them through Noah, telling them what they needed to do to be righteous, and they refused. And they went in a different direction. Now, this text is helping us see what we need to do in listening to the preaching of Jesus through men. And they're great women. My mom preached many sermons to me, I guarantee you. Many great women who are teaching God's Word, and they are speaking as though Jesus was speaking. When we begin to think about that, we have the opportunity to enter that ark, if you will. And that's what God is going to be helping us see. It is going to be preaching to us, I think, through the message of Peter. Christ was vindicated. He suffered unbelievably, not because he sinned, but because I did. But he was vindicated through his resurrection and ascension. Look at verse 21. Baptism is an appeal to God. In a similar way, when he says eight souls were saved through water, verse 21 says, in a similar way, baptism also now saves you. It's not getting into a tub of water and taking a bath. It's not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but it is an appeal to God through a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. When I went into the water, I didn't understand it as fully as I do today, I don't think. But when we go into that water and we are buried with Christ, we are accepting the message of Christ, and we can come up and be like Christ in the sense of being vindicated by the resurrection from the dead. We bury that old man of sin, and we are raised to walk in newness of life. But it's through that resurrection of Jesus Christ and his ascension into heaven, those are the facts upon which you and I can trust. Now, Jesus bore witness. I believe he bore witness in this case, in this passage, through Noah, the preacher of righteousness. But now, this seems much more clear to me. We can bear witness through suffering and trust God to vindicate us. Over and over and over again, we see godly people in unbelievably difficult circumstances in this world who continue to trust in God. I know these fiery trials might for you be sickness, might for you be accident, might for you be job loss. You could just go on and name thing after thing that it might be in your case. But we know that if we face these things trusting in God, we submit ourselves to God's will, we are going to be raised from the spiritually dead into a life with Christ. We die with that old man of sin, and we are raised to walk in newness of life. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:17, the old things are passed away, all things are become new. We can do this. We can bear witness even though we are suffering today in some way. And if you are not today, you will. We can bear witness to this in trusting God in two ways, Peter says. First of all, we can bear witness through baptism. We can put our trust in God that He really means what He says. If you are buried with me in baptism, just like Christ was raised from the dead to a living spirit, you and I can be raised a living spirit, walking in a new life without sin. That's what baptism does, Peter is saying. And we can do that. Everybody in this room can do that. Most of you have. Most of you have repented of your sins. You've made the great confession that you believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And you have borne witness that you believe that Jesus did die. He was resurrected. Remember what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15? If Christ is still dead, He did not rise from the dead. We are of all people most to be pitied because we are still dead in our sins. So we bear witness to the message of God when we are baptized into Christ. When we think about us as persecuted Christians. Now, you may be sitting there thinking, well, I am not being persecuted. You have to think persecution in this sense doesn't mean that somebody is going to tie you up and beat you or accuse you of things and put you in jail or even put you to death. We're not talking about just that kind of persecution. That is happening to some people in the world today. But we're talking about the trials and troubles that come to every one of us in life that the devil wants us to think they are so great, we need to turn away from God and we need to do what we want to. Persecuted Christians, we can make a public confession of our faith by word and in baptism. In a similar way to the way those eight people were saved by water, God uses water when we are buried with Him to help us see the blessings that are ours when we do what God says. Just as Noah passed through the flood waters into salvation from God's judgment, believers pass through the waters of baptism into salvation from God's judgment. The very same illustration. That's what God is saying to us, I believe, as I look at what this passage says. Now, as we look at verses 20 and 21, a part of them at least, eight persons were brought safely through water. Baptism is just like that. It corresponds to this. Baptism now saves you. Just like Noah got in the ark and he and his family were saved, you can get into the ark of safety with God, His kingdom, by being born into the family of God. That's what baptism is. We are born into the family of God, bearing that old man of sin. Nothing common or unclean is going to enter the kingdom, not the kingdom in this world or the kingdom in the world to come. God is going to clean you up and save you from your sin. Baptism in a similar way to the way Noah and his family were saved. That's what God does for us in baptism. We bear witness through holy living in this wicked world. You see, Noah was a preacher of righteousness. He bore witness in the way that you and I can. During that 100 years when he preached righteousness to the people in the world, they wouldn't listen. Look at the world today. Is the world listening to Jesus preaching to them through godly people? They are not. What we can do is we can live right before God. We can become livers of righteousness, that which is right, as well as preachers of that which is right. Noah preached for perhaps, some people even think, 120 years. All along that trip, he was bearing witness to God. Now, as you look at what Peter has to say here about how the Gentiles live, and remember now, he's comparing this world in the first century to the world of Noah. Those people in the first century, the Gentiles, were living in sensuality, passions, drunkenness, orgies, idolatries, parties, lawless idolatry. When we think about how the Gentiles were living, you get a picture of what the people were living like in the days of Noah. And this was so enjoyable to them. It was so attractive to them. They were attracted to it in such a way they missed the boat and they died. And Peter says that's the way people in the world are living. Verse 4 there in 1 Peter chapter 4 says, with respect to this, the Gentiles, they are surprised when you do not join them in the same flood of debauchery, and they malign you. Now remember, this is a comparison in these texts of Noah and the first century world. Those people in the first century saw the Gentiles living in this way. They refused to live in that way, and the Gentiles maligned them, made fun of them. Can you imagine what people said to Noah while he was building the ark? And so we have that possibility today. When you live right, when you preach right, people are not going to accept it, and they are going to make fun of us. And so today, if we bear witness through baptism and holy living, God will vindicate us. He will take us to be home with Him forever. No matter what the world is trying to do to you today, no matter what the devil is trying to do to you today, if you stand up, you preach right, you teach right, you live right, God is going to take care of you and He will vindicate you. And so tonight, as we think about our invitation song, there may need to be someone in this room who needs to really be saying to God, break my heart. Just break my heart wide open because of sin that's in my life. It may be because you've refused baptism and you know what you need to do. It may be because you've chosen unholy living as a child of God. Great opportunity for you to bear witness tonight to the preaching of Jesus. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. You imitate the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. He will bring you forth a new creation cleansed from sin. You're a child of God. You don't need to be born again. What you need to do is to turn away, repent of things that are troubling you, that are in your life. And if you pray for God, He'll vindicate you and He'll lift you above every sin that you've ever committed. And so we offer God's invitation. And if you need to respond publicly, please do. Would you stand and let us sing?